Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser.
I know Dustin from Bellevue is. Dustin, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
I'm Sarah, your host, and it's time for you to get out of here, Steve.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, Dustin has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
I am ready.
If there's lots of potential, you are told that the world is your what?
Oyster.
Correct. Similar to ants, what is a group of caterpillars called?
Pass.
What NFL team recently fired their offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb?
Seahawks.
Correct. If you were born today on January 7th, what zodiac sign are you?
Aries.
No.
Libra.
No.
Cancer.
No. You can find a pommel horse in what sport?
Gymnastics.
Correct. What animated movie is about a culinary rat who inspires to be a chef?
Ratatouille.
Yes. Frankfurt is the capital of what U.S. state?
Frankfurt, Virginia?
No.
West Virginia?
No.
Pass.
Who won the first season of American Idol?
Carrie Underwood?
No. Norman Bates is the villain in which Hitchcock movie?
It's at the Hook Motel.
Dustin! Hey. You know, you got 4 correct.
It sounded like more.
Gosh.
It felt like more, Dustin. I don't know why, but it felt significant.
That's what she said.
Yeah, right.
That's what they say to make you feel better.
I know that you're significant.
We're going to cause some trauma this morning, guys.
It felt like more. Steve?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Before I do, big shout out. I want to dedicate, hopefully I win, but I want to dedicate today's Beat Mix to our good friend Easton. It's his 12th birthday today.
Oh.
His mom, Jenny, hit us up. Jenny's the best, and Easton is a big fan. He loves to do a Sarah impression while playing Beat Mix, and just an awesome, awesome kid. So happy birthday, Easton. Today's game is for you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Easton. You also have a same birthday as my mother and my mother-in-law. So happy birthday to the Kathys as well.
Wait, your mom and your mother-in-law in the same day?
Same day and same name.
And Easton?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
That's a busy day.
You better win, dude.
I know. No pressure.
All right. Well, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
If there's lots of potential, you are told that the world is your what?
Oyster.
Yes. Similar to ants, what is a group of caterpillars called?
An army?
Correct. What NFL team recently fired their offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb? Or Grub?
I don't know. Grubb.
Grubb. I was right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's the Seattle Seahawks.
Wow. How'd you know? If you were born today on January 7th, Easton and the Kathys, what zodiac sign are you?
Easton and the Kathys. I don't know. Sagittarius?
No.
A Capricorn.
You do know, yes. You can find a pommel horse in what sport?
Oh, the guy with the glasses. Gymnastics.
Yes. What animated movie is about a culinary rat who inspires to be a chef?
The Bear?
No.
Oh, wait. Ratatouille.
Yes. Frankfurt is the capital of what U.S. state?
Germany.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Kentucky.
Wow, yes.
Yeah,
kiss my tush. Who won the first season of American Idol?
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson. Norman Bates is the villain in which Hitchcock movie?
Psycho.
Wow, correct. AC/DC released Back in Black in what early 80s year?
1980?
Yes!
Wow!
Mr. Miggs, you got a perfect 10 for Easton.
Let's go!
Which is a win, 10-4. Sorry, Dustin.
Oh, got thumped.
Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Happy birthday, Easton.
And they stay there.
Wow, you were perfect.
And the moms.
And the Kathys.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Wait, so they're both named Kathy?
C or K?
Both K's.
Both wow. K's.
Mm-hmm.
And both same birthday.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Isn't that weird?
Do you guys have the same mom?
Oh my gosh, Danny, don't even put that out there.
Wait a second.
Stop.
Is George your brother? Did we just find out something new?
Wow.
I hate you all.
Only 2 days into the new show.
Wow.
Well, congrats on your perfect 10.
That was very impressive, honestly.
That felt good.
Day two, perfect 10.
Day two, got it out of the way.
Rockaholics, you got your work cut out for you this year. By the way, happy 20th anniversary to the Men's Room. They have been on the Rock of Seattle for 20 years this year. So we want you to join in on the celebration by checking out the 20th anniversary lager from Black Raven Brewing Company. And Ryan brought a can in yesterday.
There's some in the fridge right now.
We should sample it.
We should. It's the best way to celebrate the Men's Room's anniversary of 20 years on the Rock. What better way to do that than by drinking beer?
And of course, a portion of the proceeds from every beer sold goes to our three local Fisher houses. You can find it at Fred Meyer and in QFT stores right now, Rockaholics. More info at KISW.com. What would you say is the most inspiring sporting event you have ever attended, Steve Miggs?
Inspiring?
Besides your own wrestling matches.
Well, that's sports entertainment, so I don't like your tone whatsoever. But, I mean, me being on AEW was pretty cool.
That was pretty dope.
You know, I'd have to say, I mean, truly the greatest one has to be the tip for the Seahawks. The game that ended up leading when they beat the San Francisco 49ers and then in turn went to the Super Bowl and won it. I mean, I'm torn between that one and then the next year. I was lucky enough to also be at the one against the Green Bay Packers with that insane comeback. But the tip, man, I almost flung my wife down like a couple of aisles because I got so excited. I picked her up in the air and I was like, we were just crying and celebrating. That was so awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah.
206-803-ROCK. We want to hear what it was for you, Rockaholics. What was the most incredible sporting event you ever attended? 206-803-ROCK. And there's one member of this show that just experienced what they say is the most epic sporting event ever. And it's super random. You're going to hear what happened after AC/DC.
The Daily Mix Show.
What was the most epic sporting event you have ever attended? 206-803-ROCK. We want to know because while in New Mexico, Danny and his daughter Lily went to a Lobos basketball game.
Yeah.
And the ending was pretty epic.
6 seconds. Here's Tech spinning.
No, if you watch this clip, and I saw it, and I kept watching, he's on the ground, mm-hmm. like helping set up a play that's about to win them the game.
Gets it to Joseph on the buzzer, and it's good.
And it's good.
Danny, tell us what happened.
It was insane. So, like, I like to go to, I've always been a fan of the UNM Lobos, the basketball team, ever since I was a kid. Like, we used to go to games when I was a kid all the time. And so, usually when I'm home for Christmas, I try to make at least one Lobo game happen.
Okay.
This was the only game that happened in the entire 2 weeks that I was in New Mexico. So, I was like, okay, I'll buy tickets. And I hit up my cousin to see if he wanted to go with me. And I was just thinking, like, just random. I bought these tickets probably in October. Like, it was a long time before I knew if the Lobos were even good this year. I was just like, I just want to go to a game. It was a late game. 9 p.m. is when it started.
Oh, geez. And you took your daughter?
And I took my daughter because I was like, oh, do you want to go to it? And she was like, yeah, we'll go to a game. And at first, she was kind of about it. So we go, and it was packed. We were playing Reno or Nevada, and it was one of those, like, wow. And that game, it was back and forth the entire time until the last set. We went into overtime. It's 11:30 at night. We're tired. It's hot. Everyone's ready. And that happens. And I swear to God, I was the same as you, Steve. I almost picked up Lily and threw her on the floor.
Shocker. Just shocker.
Because everyone
will find our way back. Don't worry about it.
Everyone thought that we were losing that game. Like, my cousin turned to his wife and he's like, no, we're done. Like, we can't get it back. I had to look at Lily and Lily's like, aw, too bad. And then we see him get the ball and just make that shot, and we ever lost our collective mind. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen live.
I love that.
And the fans, I saw the video clip, and everyone was just losing their minds. I was like, that's awesome. That would have sucked if you left.
Oh my! Gosh. There were people next to us that left. They left probably like 5 minutes left, and I was like, they missed that epic ending.
Because I always think about that moment when I was at that Green Bay Packers Seahawks game, and the couple sitting next to us got up and left. Because I mean, Seahawks were known for having these miraculous comebacks with Russell Wilson at the time. It's an NFC Championship game, but you know, it looked very bleak. And yeah. I understand you want to beat traffic, but all of us in the section were like, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" And you could tell, like. I think it was the guy, if I remember correctly. One of them didn't look like they were sure. And I could imagine that ride home was very awkward.
Big regret.
And we look at some of the text messages. Someone said, my husband went to a Mariners game randomly once, ended up being at Felix Hernandez's A Perfect Game.
Oh, how cool.
I still kick myself. I remember that. I remember wanting to go to that game. For some reason, I think a few of us at work were like, let's go to the game. I was like, I don't really want to go. Yeah, I want to get home, blah, 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 blah. And then looking back on it, I'm like, man, Felix Hernandez is my all-time favorite Mariner.
Oh,
to be
yeah.
able to see him pitch a perfect game would have been bonkers.
So I remember back, I can't remember the year, it might have been like 2007 or something. It was when Ken Griffey Jr. was playing with the Cincinnati Reds, and he came back to play in our house, and he ended up hitting, I think, 2 home runs, but the way that the crowd was so happy to see him, every single Mariners fan was up, screaming, yelling, clapping for him. It was just the coolest thing.
Was that the return when he came back after leaving?
Yes.
Going to Cincinnati. I remember that, yeah.
And they even had like a sign that was like, hit it here, Junior. Like they were, it was like you're rooting for him. It was just the coolest. 206-803-ROCK. What was the most epic sporting event you have ever attended? Tom in Issaquah, it was a football game for you.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Colorado, and my cousin and I are both diehard Bronco fans, and because we couldn't afford season tickets, we would pick one game a year and go. And the year was 2011 when Tim Tebow was quarterback. We ended up going to the Thursday night game against the Jets. And it was just a wild back and forth that ended with Tebow leading the Broncos on a game-winning drive from their back when they were backed up on their own 5-yard line.
Wow.
I forgot all about Tebow until this moment. And you know,
the stadium was rocking. It was so loud that night.
Oh, I bet. And I mean, for a half a second, people thought, Tim Tebow's the answer.
Christine from Tacoma, your most epic memory of a sporting event was a volleyball game.
No, it was actually the Gonzaga basketball game. We were at the first ever NCAA tournament game that they ever played in. I played volleyball, and my roommate was a Gonzaga basketball player. And when they qualified, we loaded up in my little Honda Civic. There were like, I think there were 5 of us crammed in there. And we went down there, and we experienced everything about the NCAA tournament. It was awesome, and they've never looked back.
That's awesome.
Rock on, Christine.
Hey, just quickly.
And then we were at the game where Calvary tipped it in. I think that made us either get to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. And we were, like you guys are saying, literally my husband, I think, almost threw me over the edge.
it is a weird sense of strength that you get in those moments.
Oh my gosh.
Did you know that Tim Tebow is going back to Tim Tebow? Because I just remember this because Tatum, he made a children's book.
No.
About a Bronco.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding. I'm like, my wife's reading this book. I'm like, what is this book you're reading? And I look at the author and it says Tim Tebow. I'm like, wait, what? He's got a children's book?
And I think you write one really popular children's book and that can pay some bills, you know?
I mean, well, he got one sale from our household, apparently.
Yesterday, the Seahawks fired their offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, as the Hawks did not make the playoffs. So was this a smart call? We're going to chat with Seattle Sports Radio great, the host of Mitch Unfiltered, Mitch Levy, at 720.
The Daily Mix Show.
He is the host of Mitch Unfiltered, which you can listen to anywhere you get your podcasts or at MitchUnfiltered.com. Good morning, Mitch Levy, on to talk about our Seahawks and the wild end to the year that we had.
Happy New Year. Wait a second. Is that why I'm on to talk about the Seahawks? I thought I was on because I still haven't seen, I don't know, my computer's not working. I'm not getting updates. I haven't seen the results of the Holiday Bowl yet.
Oh,
somebody please tell me
gosh. What
happened between Washington State and my alma mater, Syracuse, because I guess that the news is late getting to me. Did that game get played in San Diego or not?
Tyron, do you know?
Syracuse played a great game.
Okay.
The Cougs did not.
Wasn't there a bet?
We should have had a bet.
I thought that there was a bet. I thought there was a big bet on the line.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was embarrassing. We, I mean, yeah. a lot of offensive moves, but not a lot of defensive moves.
It was embarrassing, actually, for both teams, if you really want to be. And the truth is, Washington State had excuses and pretty legitimate, valid excuses, like every guy on the team left and the coaching staff left before the game. That's a pretty valid excuse, Migsy, don't you think?
I mean, I would give them a pass.
Syracuse was all stoked about playing. Most of their guys played. They have no excuse. The fact that Washington State went up and down the field with a guy who had never started a Division I game at quarterback was a little embarrassing for us. But I digress. How are you guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
Happy
to you,
New
too.
Year.
So I have a question.
Get to 12? Migsy, did they get the 12 wins?
Give me
a couple of games go different directions. We're talking about a 12-5 Seahawks team. 10-7. It is very close to 12-5. And they're, I mean, we could look at the schedule and see so many of those games they could have won and they didn't.
Yes.
Also, there's probably some of those games they should have lost and they
funny,
won.
It's so funny whatever. That's what you it's funny that that's the way you explain it, because I did, as you guys know, I did sports radio for 25 years in Seattle and 30 years, including DC. And I was thinking about this before we jumped on. This Seahawks team, 2024, and in particular, the quarterback, those topics are like, and I hate to say this to you on your station, they are perfect sports radio topics. Perfect, because a perfect sports radio topic for guys like me who don't know how to talk about or think about anything outside of sports because we're so narrow-minded is a perfect topic is something that you can look at that we all watched. And if you want to tilt your head this way, you could come up with a positive way of spinning it very easily. And if you want to tilt your head this way, you can look at it very negatively and come up with a very valid set of reasons. Both the quarterback and the entire team, that is a perfect sports radio topic. The topics that everybody agree on, where we look at it and there's really only one valid conclusion, that's when people tune out and start going to the Daily Mix show.
So we need more of those than is what you're saying.
That's right. That's right. So I think, I mean, you just said yourself, oh my God, Mitch, they won 10. They could have won two others. That would have been 12. They were so close. And somebody might say, Migsy, shut the hell up. They won 10 games. And when you look at the 10 teams they beat, the quality of the team, they didn't win one game, really. The closest thing was the road win at San Francisco that kind of came out of the blue after the bye week. Outside, and San Francisco ended up being crappy, right? Mm-hmm. So take a look at who they beat. They beat Denver the first game of the year when Denver was nothing. I mean, they ended up being something, but they were awful at the beginning of the year. They beat Miami with a third-string quarterback. They beat the Jets. They barely beat the Bears. They beat the Rams when the Rams sent out their second and third stringers, and they barely beat them the other day. I mean, if you go one by one through the Seahawks' 10 wins, you could arrive at the conclusion that they beat nobody, and it was a pretty fraudulent 10. In fact, it was more like 9 because of the Rams game. Or you could be Migsy and say, hey, they almost beat the Giants because of the block kick. They should have beat the Rams. They were in position to beat some other teams, and they could have gotten to 12 and been in the playoffs. And by the way, you could do the same thing. I know we got to go to the song, but you could do the same thing with Geno Smith. Geno Smith is literally the most polarizing Seahawk player, I think, since I came to Seattle in 1994-95. Sean Alexander was close.
Yep.
People hated Sean Alexander. People love Sean Alexander. But this Geno Smith story is just sports radio heaven, because literally half of the universe think he is awful and should be a backup quarterback. And then there's guys like me who watch it and say, put a good offensive line in front of him, and he could be terrific.
Mitch,
be really good.
I'm convinced you and I are the president and vice president of the Geno Smith fan club. And it blew my mind. The guy threw, you're right. They played like a bunch of backups, but still, he threw 4 touchdowns. And I'm still reading on social media people just like talking about him hammering, like as if he threw 4 interceptions.
Yeah, hammering him. I'm telling you, perfect sports radio top. By the way, who's the president and who's the vice president? You or me? Which one?
You're the president. I mean, I feel like.
Yeah, you can't put a guy wearing, jerseys in the president's seat. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I'm too much of a.
Darren, Taryn, the song, please. I'm running out of voice. The song.
Your poor voice.
He is the host of Mitch Unfiltered. You can get that wherever you listen to your podcast or check out MitchUnfiltered.com and give him a follow on X. It is Mitch_Seattle. We will have more with Mitch Levy.
Yeah, we got to talk about Ryan Grubb. We got to talk about Ryan Grubb.
The Daily Mix Show.
He is the host of Mitch Unfiltered, which you can get wherever you snag podcasts or at MitchUnfiltered.com. Mitch Levy, we got to talk about Ryan Grubb.
We do have to talk about Ryan Grubb. I don't think anybody who follows it closely was surprised, because we have been hearing rumblings for the last half of the season that it could be a one and done for Ryan Grubb as the coordinator of the Seahawks, which was curious to me because 1 year, I know he's a first-time NFL offensive coordinator. They wooed him from going to Alabama to be with his buddy Kalen DeBoer. He stayed. They picked him, right? When I say they, I mean John Schneider, the general manager, and the head coach, Mike McDonald. 1 year, really?
That was part that seemed weird to me. I saw McDonald said something like, oh, we had differing visions on the offense, and I'm like, well, didn't you know what his vision was when you hired him? It just seems strange to me.
The whole thing seems very strange. Clearly, what I was going to say is what you just said, is it's got to go beyond, okay, we didn't get what we wanted out of the offense this year. Because if it's just that, you give the guy a second year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's got to be, hey, some sort of clashing of, and this is what we were hearing rumors of, that they were not, I would say not getting along, Mike McDonald and Ryan Grubb. They just didn't see the what Mike McDonald wanted to do, Ryan Grubb didn't want to do. And what Ryan Grubb wanted to do, Mike McDonald didn't want to do. And so at the end of the season, they've got to decide, can we bridge that? And apparently they've decided they can't. Now, a lot of Seahawks fans were not very content with the way he called plays. It was disjointed. They didn't run the ball a lot. He's a passing quarterback. I mean, he's a passing coordinator. And so we'll see. We'll see who the next guy they bring in is. But, yeah, that was, I wasn't surprised, but I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't given more than a year.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see. And what's funny about that is, and you can now segue to Gino, is go back, and I tweeted it out yesterday. Go back and look. Go back and look at Gino's comments about Ryan Grubb on Sunday after the game against the Rams. Now, a lot of people will say, what do you think he's going to say when asked about Ryan Grubb, the quarterback? But he was pretty extreme in his praise. I mean, it didn't seem like it was just, oh, I'm the quarterback, of course I'm going to say something nice about my offensive coordinator. It seemed like he went another mile and talked about how he's going to be a great coordinator. I really like working with him. I mean, the whole thing. And now he's gone 12 hours after those remarks by Gino. The coordinator's gone. And now you start asking the questions about Gino, right? And that's the big topic. What's going to happen with Gino this offseason?
What do you think?
What do I think should, or what do I think will? Those are two different topics.
Both. Do we have time for both? We need both.
I don't know. Do we have another song? I mean,
Danny?
No.
The song, Danny. I don't know what's going to happen. Again, there was another quote from McDonald. I think it was on his coach's radio show yesterday, where he was asked, is Gino the quarterback? And his quote now, it's one of those quotes that I think you need to hear. I never heard it. I just read what he said. He said something like, I would think so. There's no reason for me to say no, so I guess so. I mean, that in and of itself isn't the most, the strongest, stamp of approval, is it?
I heard the clip, and I watched
you heard him.
And it's hard to tell with McDonald. Sometimes I feel like he's, this comedy show that we don't realize. Some of the things he says are very deadpan, so you can never really get a vibe if he's joking or if that's just, I feel like he's Michael Scott from The Office at times. But it sounded very playful. And so, okay. I mean, I didn't get the vibe that I know some people are like, oh, I think he's not very confident in Gino. I didn't get that vibe from it.
So, I think, and I'm not answering the exact question. I can. What should he do? What do I think he would do? I think the first thing you got to do for your audience and for you guys and for me is understand the situation. Let's talk facts for a second. Here are the facts. He's got 1 year left on his contract. That year is going to pay him somewhere in the neighborhood of $28 to $30 million. When you talk about salary and roster bonuses and what he's scheduled to make. Now, his salary cap number, which is a very important piece of this, because you have a salary cap, is $38.5 million next year. Now, that sounds huge. It would be the highest on the Seahawks team. But it's not like the biggest in the NFL. There are quarterbacks next year that are going to be 45 million cap numbers, 48 cap numbers. So 38, you could deal with it. You would like it to be lower, but you can deal with it. So here are the choices that the Seahawks have, okay? A, they could cut him, which is they get nothing for him. They get salary cap relief, and he just goes and signs. He's on the open market and goes sign somewhere else. I think that's the least likely thing that they would do. Number two, they could trade him. Find a team that needs a quarterback, go draft a quarterback themselves, or go get a free agent, trade him, and maybe bring back a piece or two that can help them. I think that's probably the second least likely thing that they would do. That leaves two options. One is go to him and try to extend him. He's going to be 35 next year. Next year will be his 35-year league season. You could go to extend him. What is he going to want? If you say he's going to want an extension, nobody wants to play in the final year, Taryn, of their contract. Nobody in the NFL ever wants to play in the final year of their contract. They want certainty beyond that, and in fact, they'll hold out. They won't go to training camp. They'll do everything that they can to protest playing that final year. They want an extension. I think he's going to want $45 million a year. There are 14 quarterbacks in the NFL that make an average salary of $40 million or more. Okay? Some of those guys are like Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson. He's better than those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. So I think he's going to want 3 years, $45 million a year minimum. I don't think the Seahawks want to pay him that. I think the Seahawks would like to pay him 3 years, $30 or $35 million. So will there be a deal for an extension? And if there's not, and the Seahawks just decide, screw this, we want you to play the final year. He's not going to want to play the final year without a new contract. So what happens then? Is he upset and angry and doesn't put his best foot forward and a distraction? Does he make it impossible for them? Or does he say, okay, 35, I'm still going to make $30 million. I got to play my best football here because I'm going to be a free agent at 36. 1 year from now, I'll be on the open market. So I don't know if I've done a good enough job. This is the playing field that we're talking about. This is the list of options. And I know I'm getting a sign from Danny that involves the third finger. So I
Danny hates Geno Smith. That's why.
No, I do not.
So what do I think is going to happen? I think he's going to play for the Seahawks next year. I think they're going to try to get an extension done with him. I'm not convinced they will get an extension done with him, that they'll come to an agreement on what that number should be. And I could see him ending up playing on the 1 year. You know, he won't play any training. He won't go to training camp. He won't play in the preseason games. And then he'll be forced to make a decision on the Monday before the regular season opener. Do I come in? Because at that point, drama. Taryn, if he doesn't come in on Monday, now he starts losing a prorated amount of like $25 to $30 million each week. Now, Geno spent 8 years not making any money in relative terms. He was a backup making no money in relative terms. To you and I, he was making a lot of money, but he's making no money. Is a 35-year-old going to start forfeiting every week a prorated $30 million? I don't think he's going to. I think he'll come in. His nose will be out of whack, and he'll play the first week of the season next year. These are guesses.
Mm-hmm.
These are guesses. Because I don't know, I don't think any of us really know whether, we started by talking about how interesting the Geno story is because half of the world is like Migsy and I, we think he's great or could be great. Okay, Migsy and I think we're president and vice president. We think he could be great. Half of the world thinks he's terrible. He shouldn't start on any team. Okay, we don't know where John and Mike are on that scale.
Yeah.
We really don't know. And I think going into this year, I hate to say this to Migsy, but I think going into this year, John Schneider was more on the, we need another quarterback. I think he's been trying to get out of the Geno Smith thing for years. I don't know where they stand right now. So without knowing, and that answer that he gave yesterday, now you heard it. I don't know. What is that? Where does that put him on the scale? I guess so. There's no reason for me to say no now, so I guess so. I mean, where does that put those two guys on the scale? I don't know. I don't know what they think of them. It's very interesting. The whole thing's very interesting.
Well, I have two Geno Smith jerseys, so they need to keep them around because otherwise, what am I going to do here?
You shouldn't be wearing jerseys.
Maybe we'll change him for next season, Mitch. And thank you so much for being part of this for this last season.
I love
really
you
appreciate
thank
it. We're going to miss
love you.
You.
Guys. I love your audience, the opportunity to be back on. You know, I did morning radio for 22 years in Seattle, and you guys have given me for the last several years an opportunity to be heard again on radio, and I'll forever appreciate that.
Thank oh, we
you.
Love you, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch. We do love you. Now, Rockaholics, we would love for you to beat Steve. We're so sick of it, the winning ways.
Who's we?
Sarah and I. Sarah and I are sick of it. He's got 3 wins this year, 0 losses, and 1 tie so far in 2025. 206-803-ROCK. We will play Beat Migs at 7:50.
The Daily Migs Show.